You are now listening to Pure Phase Radio featuring The Dill and Tom Flood on C101.5. The Hawk.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Pure Phase Radio. We're here every Monday and Tuesday nights, 8 to 10. This week, we actually have three guests that we interviewed for our show. We interviewed Brendan Canning from Broken Social Scene.
We have Michael Johnston from Skydiggers and MJMS Studios.
And Brian Borchard from Holy Fuck and Dusted. And not much of us. Not much me and you this week. Sorry, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. I think maybe the people have had enough, and these are such good guests that I think it's going to be a really good show.
So let's start it off with chatting with Brendan Canning. Here we go.
How you doing, everybody? This is The Dill on Pure Phase Radio, and tonight our guest with us in Toronto is the one and only Brendan Canning. What's up, bro? How's it going?
Hey, yeah, at dinner, found a bike. Well, no, I didn't find a bike. A dog walking friend of mine said, I just left a bike for free that belonged to my lawyer in the park, and I just got a bike stolen. I mean, I didn't really get it stolen. I left it unattended, kind of because I wanted it gone, I guess. And then I got another one exactly the same, basically. So boom, I got a bike. I got another piece of shit rally bike from the 80s.
That's karma. That's some good karma, and some it was meant to be.
Yeah, it's something. And yeah, that's it.
How's Herbie? What's Herbie up to?
Looks like he's probably looking for that treat he buried in his blanket a couple hours ago.
He'll be searching for a while, huh?
Yeah, he might be. Yeah, he's a good little... He's been good during all this quarantine because he likes to sleep in, just like me. And then, yeah, you know what? Without Herbie, I wouldn't have got the bike because it's a dog walking person I ran into in the park.
Right.
Who I'm friends with. So there you go. He's good for many things.
If you were to guess right now what the rest of your band, Broken Social Scene, is doing right now, what do you think? What's Kev doing? What's Sammy doing?
Kev is maybe preparing for his 11 p.m. live Instagram thing he's been doing.
Yeah, ambient music. I like it.
Yeah, Sam has just sent out a compilation video of a 2017 Hug of Thunder tour video where the whole gag was our tour manager at the time, Aaron Brody, was dead. So it's some very amateur hour comedy that Sam was editing together, or just compiling some video clips. Everyone was chiming in on the group thread a few hours ago. I mean, Justin's doing his JP Metals. Yeah, I don't know. Everyone's doing their thing.
Awesome.
On the nice sunny day we had on Sunday, I brought the turntables out on the sidewalk, and my neighbor across the street lent me some speakers and a mixer, and, you know, we rocked an afternoon party for, you know, 4 or 5 hours, which was fun. That's about the most outwardly musical thing I've done. And otherwise, I'm just kind of working on my piano chops. I'm glad Kevin and Charles are doing some Instagram live stuff, but I'm not as interested in that person.
Tell me why you've been DJing for so many years.
I'm a musicologist. I'm a music historian. I love just discovering a new song or a new artist every single day, if I can. I like the whole process of going to a record store and seeing people you know, seeing the people who own the shops. You know, it's like, it's a great hobby. And it's a great hobby that has sometimes yielded me cash. Like the Tragically Hip took me out on tour. Not saying that was like my favorite DJ gig ever, but it was gainful employment, which I was quite happy about and quite grateful that I was able to do something like that. I think that DJ, that bone is just in my body. Because I grew up listening to radio, you know, from age 7 until now.
So speaking of music and speaking of musicology, you've picked a few songs tonight. Should we start with Kraftwerk for obvious reasons?
Yeah, for Florian there. And yeah, Kraftwerk are such an influential group. And I was so glad that I got to see them in 2004. I saw them a couple times in 2004. One show at Rico Coliseum, and then at Coachella when we played Coachella in 2004 with Broken.
Okay, so why don't we listen to that? We'll listen to some Kraftwerk now, and we have Brendan Canny here on 101.5 Pure Phase. Here we go. Thank you. How you doing, everybody? This is the Dill on Pure Phase Radio. I have Brendan Canning here with us in the studio via Toronto, via remote Zoom action. How you doing, Brendan?
Good. Via Zoom.
We're zooming. We're zooming on a night like this. Could be worse. You know, we're catching up. This is fun.
Yeah.
Have you had a radio show before? Or you've thought about it? Or
you know what? I did a few podcasts, I guess, for Jazz FM. And then I think the sheen of it wore off. And I was like, really? You want me to edit this thing? And it's like, don't you know who I am?
That's my line.
Yeah.
Yeah, my line is, don't you know who I think I am? I like that one.
Yeah, don't you know who I think I used to be? I like that one.
2008, something for all of us. 2013, you got to chill. 2016, home wrecking years. Draper Street Records. Are there a couple songs in the works or in the back catalog? I know you were saying that you're just taking some time off from being creative, but are some of your new songs in the BSS camp, or do you find that you're thinking of another project as well?
I mean, there's a bunch of archival stuff which I might unearth just for the sake of giving it a home and saying, hey, you know, this happened, and this year, and for anyone who's mildly curious, yeah, something like that might come down the pike. But as far as like a new thing, I mean, I got a whole whack of these piano motifs that could turn into something, but I mean, I'm not much of a home recordist. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that will be that's a TBD, I would say.
Yeah, it's too bad that you couldn't just have someone set up the whole home recording thing with all the gear and, you know, leave it there for a month and press record whenever you want to, and it's going to sound like $1 million.
Yeah, and have the string quartet at my disposal, that kind of thing. I mean, that would be great. But yeah, who knows what the future holds. Hopefully, we'll see what live concerts are going to be like in the post-quarantine world.
Yeah, I've heard about 2021 with some concerts, but I've also heard about drive-in movie theaters being converted to concerts. So you go bring your car in, you turn in the radio and have a couple of drinks inside your car, which doesn't sound like a good idea, but you know, for the passengers maybe, and then you just rock out to the band. I don't know if you've heard that.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like show promoters grasping at straws.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I don't poo-poo the idea. I mean, whatever anyone wants to do. I mean, I was lucky enough to get in a lot of good touring years when crowding was not an issue. In fact, to be a musician, the more ram-packed the club is, the better the energy, because everyone's, you know, that's it's like basic chemistry.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing to even imagine, like a band playing and then there you are sitting in your car. It's like, what? Like, people aren't going to want to get out of their car and jump around or crush some beers or take some acid. I don't know.
Maybe we'll be like, just like after the song's over, like we'll high beam you, you know, from our cars and honk, 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 like after the song's done.
Can you imagine? Just like tons of horn honking. It's kind of a funny concept, actually. Just like you walk off the stage and all of a sudden everyone's laying on their horn for an encore.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
It's kind of funny. And then you come back out, and then instead of applauding, everyone's like, yeah, they high beam you.
Yeah, it has to get really bright, and then you know it's like, oh, they really want us to fly.
Or everyone's just got their windows down and cheering. Guess, you know, that will sound like something. But how many cars can you fit? Like, it'd have to be, just the whole concept seems insane.
Yeah. Speaking of music, John Prine, Alice Clark, do you have anything to say about these two bands?
You know, keeping with the quarantine deaths and John Prine, who I just discovered a couple of years ago. What song did I pick from John Prine there?
Don't Bury Me.
Yeah, Don't Bury Me. Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, you know, might as well.
I hope they didn't bury him. He wrote a song, you know. I assume his estate, you know, knew the track.
Yeah, you would assume.
Tell me about Alice Clark. I don't know Alice Clark.
I bought that record last year. It's one of those, you know, lost treasure kind of records. And I was at Rotate This, and I just pulled it out. I'm like, oh, Alice Clark. It's like a 1972 masterpiece. And if you try to buy the original, of course, it's, you know, a $250 record, but still a heavy hitter on that record for sure. And did not make a whole ton of music, but made, what song did I pick on that Alice Clark record?
You picked Don't You Care.
Yeah.
All right, let's listen to that Alice Clark, Don't You Care, and then we'll listen to Don't Bury Me by John Prine, and then we'll be right back with Brendan Canning on Pure Phase Radio.
Please don't bury me down in that cold, cold ground. No, I'm gonna my ears and they don't mind if I. Give my feet to the footloose, careless, fancy free. Give my knees to the needy, don't pull that stuff on me. Hand me down my walking cane, it's a sin to tell a lie. Send my mouth way down south and kiss my ass goodbye. But please don't bury me down in that cold, cold ground. No, I'm gonna have them cut me up and pass me all around. Pull my brain in a hurry. Both of my ears if they don't mind the size.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. This is The Dill on Pure Phase Radio, and I have a special guest on the show tonight, Brendan Canning of Broken Social Scene, ex-head, ex-Vitavan Wright, ex-cookie duster. We could keep on going with the exes, couldn't we?
Yeah, yeah, a few more in there.
I was actually Brendan Canning's replacement after he left By Divine Right, so that's a little known fact that we got double BDR bass players in the house.
Yeah.
Tyler, the Creator, November, why did you want to play that?
Yeah, no real reason, just, yeah, we should throw some hip-hop in there, and that's from not his latest record, but the prior one, called Scum Fuck Flower Boy. But November, that's just such a good tune. And probably, like, of all the new hip-hop out there, I guess he's probably my favorite. I mean, he's a lot of people's favorite. He's doing good business, and he's always got, like, fun outfits and cool pink wigs or whatever, and just seems like a pretty hilarious dude and capable of making great contemporary music.
But not everyone has that whole skill set, right?
No, his latest record, what, Igor, it's good too, but I love that. November is definitely, like, just a killer track. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's listen to Tyler Creator's November, and then we'll listen to Run the Jewels with DJ Shadow, and we'll be right back with Brendan Canning on Pure Phase Radio.
Take me back to November, what's up? Can we go back to November? Take me back to November. Hawaiian shirts in the winter, deep thoughts, and I'll take me back to November, what's up? What if Clinton fucking me over? What if who that boy is rhetorical when this shit is over? What if I'm hustling backwards? What if my accountant ain't paying my taxes, filling his pockets, and IRS show up asking me questions I couldn't answer because I was too busy trying to make classes? What if my music too weird for the masses, and I'm only known for tweets more than beats, or all my day ones turn to 3/4s because of track 7? Fuck. What if I get stuck? What if I got comfortable? I gotta keep it buck 50. What if I lost it all and ended up back in Ladera at them shitty apartments that's across from Bank of America? Damn, I will be hurting writing all of these songs because Wi-Fi wasn't working. Last year in total, I put out 2 versions of 5-7 figures since DN likes kind of perfect. Or is it really? Or is it really? Bitch, you know that daily, really, hilly, really, tilly, silly, hold that billy, how I'm really right. When they can't relate them, when they start to hate them, they don't drive these cars, so what's they ultimatum? Tell me, what's your November? Is it a person? Mine was the summer 06, I remember the... What if I thought the brake was the gas? What if I crashed? What if these deep thoughts is my last? Let me pull over quick and drive back to November. Take me back to November. Hawaiian shirts in the winter, cold water, yeah, take me back to November, what's up? Can we go back to November? Take me back to November. Hawaiian shirts in the winter, deep thoughts, now take me back to November, what's up?
My November was those odd future Sundays where you just want to skate all day.
My November was when I was gifted the Skets and Gilbert.
My November was my brother took me to my first
concert. My November was summer 2015 when I fell in love with someone who bought
2014 showed me Miami 43rd Street. Every day was November.
Take me back, 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 take me back.
I ain't doing fine, lost my motherfucking mind. Time travel back and help me find. Take me back, take me back.
My November is right now.
I wrote a song about you, I want your opinion. Opposite of my heart rate to slow down at the ending. Cause the love that I got for you has exceeded appearance. The lyrics are, matter of fact, I'ma just call you so you can hear it. If you do answer, I'll play it to state facts. Although I already know the response you gon' say back. At that point I'll hang up, disappear, and just stay back. And if you don't, I'll leave a voicemail with the playback.
Hello, no one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Picture this, I'm a bag of dicks, put me to your lips, I am sick, I will punch a baby bear in his shit, give me lip, I'ma send you to the yard, get a stick, make a switch, I can end a conversation real quick.
I am crack, I ain't lying, kick a lion in his crack, I'm the shit, I will fall off in your crib, take a shit, hit your mama on the booty, kick your dog, fuck your bitch, fat boy dressed up like you sat on and took pictures with your kids.
We the best, we will cut a frowny face in your chest, little wench, I'm unmentionably fresh, I'm a man. Get correct, I will walk into a court while it wrecks, screaming yes, I am guilty, motherfuckers, I am death. Hey, you wanna hear a good joke?
Nobody speak, nobody get choked.
Shit, the Funyuns. Flame your crew quicker than Trump fucks his youngest. Now face the flame, fuckers, your fame and fate's gone with.
I walk Charlie Brown, Peppermint, Patty, Linus, and Lucy. Put coke in the doobie, roll woolies to smoke with Snoopy. I still remain that dick rabbit slacker to spill the wookie. Cause the total of the Thule will murder you friggin' moolies.
Fuck outta here.
We top billing it, valiant without villain it, viciously found victory. Burnt towns and villages, burning, looting, and pillaging.
Murderers try to hurt us, we curse them and all their children. I just want the bread and bologna bundles to tuck away. I don't work for free, I am barely giving a fuck away.
So tell Big and Johnny and Mommy to get the fuck away. Yo, here's a gun, son, now run, get it the gut away.
Live to shoot another day.
Everybody, that was just Run the Jewels and DJ Shadow. Before that was Tyler, the Creator, with November. We're just wrapping up our convo with the one and only Brendan Canning from Broken Social Scene. He's here with us on Pure Phase Radio tonight. Thanks for being on the show, bro.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dale.
Are you excited about May and June? What are you looking forward to, even though it's in this tumultuous time? Is there things that you're excited about for spring and summer?
No, more just looking forward to it being a little bit warmer, because it was freezing out on the dog walk tonight. It's just ridiculous. It should not be this cold in May. All I'm really looking forward to is warmer weather and maybe getting to a body of water somewhere and jumping in a lake. That would be ideal. But then, I mean, who knows? It's like, hey, can I come up to your cottage? Oh, you know, we're really just a little bit worried about, social distancing. So it'd be great, you know. Okay, that's the one thing I'm just concerned about is like, oh, you find out like how it's going to affect your future relationships with every human you've ever met.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But I figured out your cottage dilemma. You just find friends with cottages. You even put it on Facebook right now. And then you straight up, you have to get a little like one man tent from, you know, whatever, some retail store. And then you go to the grocery store yourself. You just put your tent in at their cottage. So near their body of water, you know, you can still do the campfire thing with them. You can still do the dock thing with them, but you just can't go in the cottage and
make up a bunch of sandwiches beforehand. I don't even have to eat with you.
You're just on the lawn at the cottage, and then you're in the water and you're seeing the stars and eating mushrooms and whatever you're going to do.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
You solved it. You just solved it. Thanks. Thanks, Dill. I'm good now. Now I got my summer planned.
Well, now you have the concept. You have the framework. You still need to find, you need the tent, you need the sandwiches, and then you need the cottage or the several cottages, like once or two a month. That's I'm sure you have enough friends.
I'll tell you what I do have. I have an automobile. I got a Coleman cooler. I've got access to ice packs. I'm still flush with cash to a limited degree.
You got a dog.
I got a dog.
You got a guitar.
Yeah, I got a guitar. Should I decide to play it? I still have a bunch of books that I could read. I don't need much, you know. I really don't need much. When you boil it down, you know, how much shit do you really need to really get by?
Good point. Well, Brendan, that's the end of my questions. I don't want to keep you, because unless you have any other questions, do you have anything to say? You want any last thoughts?
Keep an eye on that directing manager of the radio station there. I don't trust that Bri Webb as far as I can throw him.
Oh, geez. He'll hear that for sure.
Oh, there's beef. There's beef.
So that was Brendan Canning from Broken Soul Scene. Thanks, Brendan. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Here's Brendan fronting Broken Social Scene with their breakout song, Stars and Suns. We'll be right back.
So that was my chat with Brendan Canning. Pretty cool guy, eh, Tom?
Yeah, awesome. Been listening to, you know, his music for so many years now. Nice to kind of hear him in a different situation talking with you.
How was chatting with Michael Johnston?
Oh, it was great. Love Michael Johnston. So obviously we know him from Hamilton as well. Such a good guy, good community member. He's got a great school, which we'll get into in the interview in a little bit here. But one of those people that's had to pivot their whole, you know, business model in wake of the COVID-19 situation. So it's pretty interesting what they've done. Let's take a listen.
Okay, everybody. Welcome to Pure Phase Radio. I am Tom Flood here, and we have a super special guest. This is my first virtual Zoom interview, and we have superstar musician, school, studio owner, operator, awesome dad, community member, and all-around good guy, Michael Johnston here. So, Michael, welcome.
Thank you, Tom.
You are welcome. You know, it's nice that we finally have you on the show, Michael, because you sometimes do listen, which is really nice on your way back from Toronto, where your studio is.
You know, Tom, as you and Dylan both know, I really prided myself on my devout listening and the lengths to which I would go to tune into Pure Phase on my Monday night. You know some of the details, but it often involved, you know, using an app as I was walking to the, you know, subway station in Toronto, trying to stay above ground so I could keep you guys in my ears. I mean, you were a big, big part of my Monday nights.
That's amazing. And it's funny because we've kind of bonded over some of the songs that we've played that, you know, not maybe everybody is necessarily into, a la Audrey Hepburn singing Moon River.
Absolutely. For one. Absolutely. You know, one thing that I, you know, and I mean this genuinely, that I really appreciate about your show and the dynamic between you and Dylan is that you're not, you know, you're actually not bringing the same sensibilities to the table, musically speaking. You both have open ears and you're both kind of into checking out what the other has. And I think that's great. And I honestly, I think as we get older and move through this world, you know, we all have our favorites and it's great to go back to those favorites and it's comforting and all those things. But it's, I think I, you know, as a musician and a teacher, as you said, like I do feel it's very important to always be trying to look ahead while you're looking back at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? Dylan does a really good job of looking ahead that's something I lack in for sure.
It's a balance though, man. Yeah. It's a balance. I'm always trying to look both ways.
So Michael, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on in the world of Michael Johnston? Johnston, sorry.
No, that's all right. Yeah, so I have the opportunity to play maybe the past decade, 15 years, I've played on and off with a band called the Skydiggers, who are a great Canadian band. I mean, I used to be a fan when I was a kid. And so playing keyboards with them, and we were, you know, booked to do a number of shows with Paul Langlois from the Tragically Hip, and we were going to be doing a big Earth Day show in Kitchener, several festivals in the summer. Those have all been sort of postponed. So the musical side of what I'm doing, has been not looking towards performances and instead kind of looking within and doing a little bit of songwriting.
So you are fitting some songwriting in.
Yeah, I am. But you know what? It's trying to, I think that a lot of songwriters, understandably given the circumstances, are either, you know, maybe going to a bit of a dark place or kind of going the other way and trying to write these, you know, uplifting anthems. And I'm kind of, I feel I have a lot of tunes and a lot of melodies that are coming, but lyrically, I'm almost just letting them stay as instrumental songs, which is a new thing for me.
Where are you landing right now, as far as that spectrum you mentioned?
What's that Crowded House song? Is it Four Seasons in One Day? You know, it's right. Like, it's kind of that every day, I think, for all of us, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny that everyone keeps using the big U word, unprecedented, but it is, and it's something that we're all really trying to adjust to from a, you know, an emotional standpoint, you know, physically being in the same houses as everybody. And again, you know, when I say this, I always say this from a real position of privilege, that we're all very lucky and fortunate in this current situation. But feelings and mental health and all that stuff is completely relative to your situation. So yeah, it's interesting how different people manage and how we're all kind of getting through. So Michael, your journey, you started out somewhere else before you got to Hamilton. You're not from Hamilton.
That's right.
Where'd you come from?
Yeah, so I was born in Peterborough, Ontario, and I grew up in Peterborough, which was great. And I've since then went to university in Guelph and spent some time living in teaching English in Slovakia. And then I lived in Winnipeg for a few years, and then Montreal for a time, and then Toronto for a long time. And yeah. then my wife Annie and I and our two kids, we moved to Hamilton almost a year ago today. In fact, we're almost at our 1 year.
Is that right?
Anniversary of being here. Yeah. And Annie and I run, as you know, we run MJMS, which is a music school, which for, you know, 15 years has been in Toronto, and it still is there, but we are now existing in this virtual world.
What a crazy transition from bricks and mortar to not at all bricks and mortar, completely yeah. virtual.
Yeah, that's it. It's been unbelievable.
And we've
yeah.
talked a little bit about this, Michael, but how, you know, you had to, like everybody else, you had to pivot really quickly to change the way the business worked. And, you know, how was that for you guys?
I mean, you know, mercifully, in some ways, it happened over the March break. So those listeners who have kids will identify with this. It's sort of like, okay, so there's this planned time, kind of unprogrammed time with the kids. We've got a little bit of extra time. But it was absolutely fully anxiety-inducing, lying awake at night, like, what are we going to do? We've been in a fortunate position, Tom. We have, we have over 20 teachers teaching with us, and close to 300 students. And so you feel a responsibility, never mind as a business owner, but just as a human. It's like, both Annie and I love our teachers, and we want to keep them working, and we yeah. want kids to keep learning. And it felt, for the first few days, it felt impossible. Like, there's no way this can work. And then it's amazing. You know, it's like just being adaptable and just letting your mind go in terms of what is and isn't possible. That sounds very cheesy, but in doing so, realize that music, I mean, and you know this from your radio program, but music can travel in all these ways that a lot of other things in life can't. You know, it's difficult for sports to travel in the virtual world. It's difficult for a certain communication, but music seems to work well, doesn't it, in this way.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah. MJMS.
MJMS, it is.
So what do you guys offer at the studio now?
So now it's kind of a full, it's really, it's nearly a full complement of instruments. So piano, singing, guitar, and drums are probably the biggest four. But we have a lot of kids now and adults learning the ukulele. I teach a little bit of accordion. And we have some students, again, some adults who come in for songwriting lessons. But yeah, it's built around, I would say, you know, instruments that you might expect in a rock and roll band. And I mean right. that in classic 1950s Little Richard rock and roll world, you know?
Right. RIP to Little Richard.
Right. And I mean, we love it. Like, I love doing what I do. I don't feel like it's work, if that makes, you know, I don't.
That's the greatest thing ever when you can actually say that.
You know, a very dear friend of mine, a drummer named Dave Clark, who I know Dylan will know, drummed with a band called the Rio Statics and played with Gord Downie. He and I played music together for many years, and he was very much a mentor to me about teaching. And he said, for him, music, it's the circle. And within the circle, there's performing, and there's writing, and there's rehearsing, and there's teaching. And for him, he said he doesn't really distinguish between those points on the circle. And it really impacted me in a heavy way, you know, in my right. 20s. And it's something I still kind of carry now, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's lovely, wow. right?
Yeah.
That's a lovely way to look at it. Because anyway.
What do we got for the website? Is it just Google up MJMS?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. So MJMS.school.
Dot school.
Dot school. Yeah. So okay. We're kind of calling MJMS the music school is the place where you can kind of Google. And we've got the, you know, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff too. But
oh, awesome. Okay. I do want to ask you how you got involved with the Skydiggers, because that's a like you said earlier, it's a Canadian institution. People know this band. They love this band. I love the Skydiggers.
Yeah. In 2003, I made my first solo record. Just under my name, called Curious Heart, and a fellow named Don Kerr produced the record, who had a studio on Toronto Island. And Don knew and knows all kinds of musicians, and so he kind of knew Andy Mays, the singer of the Skydiggers, and we invited him to come out and sing on my record, and he came over on the ferry, and it was lovely. And then fast forward a couple of years ago, and I was performing a ton on my own, just me and a piano.
In Toronto at this time?
This is pre-Toronto. This is when I was living in Winnipeg. And they came, and this is like, at the time, it was like nothing I had ever experienced or even dreamed of experiencing. But they got in touch via email. They were coming to play a show in Winnipeg. And they said, listen, do you want to come and sit in? And Tom, at this point, not only had I never played with them.
Right.
I mean, never even considered that it would be possible. In fact, I had never played, you know, outside of my, I'd always had my own band. I'd never been
right.
Like a side person.
Yeah, right, right.
So they said, yeah, just come. And they were doing, you know, they're playing at the West End Cultural Center in Winnipeg. It's a revered, you know, institution.
Right.
Just show up. So, you know, I bring, and I kind of knew the songs like in my head, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Along.
And I'm sure they turned me down very low in the mix, but I played the entire show and was like, wow, that was amazing. And then
you played the whole thing,
a whole show. I just sat, no rehearsal, nothing. Just, and it was like, wow. Okay. And then, you know, a couple of years fast forward, I moved to Toronto and they asked me to open a number of shows.
That's 2 years later though, from when you played with them.
Yeah. So we kind of stay in touch and
right.
And then, yeah, a couple of years go by and they find out I moved to Toronto. Will you do some opening shows? Yeah, so that'd be really fun. And then it was kind of like they do their encore and then call me up to play on I Will Give You Everything or A Penny
yeah.
or those big songs of theirs.
Right, right.
And then it really just suddenly was like, well, we're going to make an album. I don't even know if they said you want to come in. It was just like, we're going to make an album at the Tragically Hip Studio. Come on, come along. Okay. Yeah.
Again, really organic, as your studio was.
Yeah, very much, very much. And you know, I've had the great fortune of being a part of maybe, you know, five or six albums and a lot of shows across the country with them. And you know, they're friends. I don't like existing in musical worlds like with the Eagles or something where these people who don't like each other, and that's right. Not for me.
Yeah. So you guys all get on well, and it's a good.
We do. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so Michael, what are we listening to tonight?
I sure do, Tom. I really appreciate you and Dylan inviting me to be on board and to share a few songs and a few stories with you guys. You know, I love context and I love hearing songs presented in a way where you hear a story to go along with them. And I think this feature that you guys are doing, I hope it continues with other, you know, because it's a wonderful way for us all to discover music beyond here's a great song. You know, it's nice to know, right?
Oh, I am so with you, Michael. And again, it's like having those discussions when you're chatting with a friend, like we're doing right now. Yeah. It's why do you love that song? Why does it mean something to you? Why is it important?
I gave myself a few parameters, Tom, and one parameter that I gave myself for your program was songs that I'd never heard on the radio before.
Oh, nice. Okay, right.
I wanted to make that sort of distinction. A lot of things can get overlooked and marginalized. So I wouldn't call any of these hicks marginal artists, but they may be artists that the average listener may not have heard on the radio before.
Okay.
So my first pick is a song called A New Day. That's not A New Day, but A New Day. And it's by a Toronto artist and musician named Mary Margaret O'Hara. For those of you who don't know, is the sister of Catherine O'Hara from Schitt's Creek and SCTV. She famously has only ever made this one album, Miss America, 1988. that has been on all sorts of top 100 album lists, and Morrissey's a huge fan, and anyone who knows this album generally can't stop talking about it. You know, hearing her sing, Tom, I'd never heard anyone explore the range of vocal possibilities in the way that she had. She right. took the yard posts and just ran them way off the Zoom screen.
Like, yeah. Okay.
And her this sort of really vulnerable, but really edgy and very confident and very smart, true genius, I really feel.
And let's go to song two.
Song two, we head across the ocean. And in the year 2006, I was invited to a collaborative songwriting retreat. It was a week-long retreat in Scotland that the BBC was presenting. I was the only Canadian, along with seven Scottish songwriters and one English songwriter. None of us had met before. We were all complete strangers. You know, I arrived the first night and, you know, picture this in this sort of Scottish mansion in the countryside. And you picture looking, you know, in a big living room, everyone looking at one another and Scottish or the Scottish musicians who were there. And these are their own words, by the way. This is not my interpretation. Their own words are that they're a bit reserved and a bit like not hard on the sleeve. And as some of your listeners may have gathered from our interview, I'm sort of not that guy. Like, I'm going to let it out. I'm very effusive.
Right.
But anyway, we're all looking at each other and I'm terrified. I'm the, you know, I've got the funny accent and they're laughing at everything I'm saying, even though I'm not trying to be funny, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's not funny. So the idea was in this week was to write songs, and you would write a song with one person in the morning, take a break for lunch, write a song with a different person in the afternoon, and repeat, so that you had worked with eight different songwriters after 4 days. And then at the end of those 4 days, there would be a concert and you would present the new material.
Commercial time.